This is the Drawing the Ideal Self podcast for February 2021. So the good news here in the UK is that we are now on the way to not being locked in our houses anymore. I know we can go out for a walk, but it's really not the same as being able to have the freedom to do everything that we'd like to do. And I think that that has probably led to people feeling a bit better about lots of things, unless it means that they're going to have to go somewhere that they really don't want to, like back into a crowded office or into a workplace they really don't enjoy, or having to drive for miles and miles to get to work, or for a kid having to sit in a classroom with people who bully them. You know, all kinds of things are issues for people. And we don't know that the release from lockdown will be universally welcomed, because for some people it's probably done them good that they've been able to have a simpler life and they've felt more comfortable with that. For others, they found it completely oppressive. And I think the responses to lockdown really show the value of Kelly's work, that it's all in the individual's interpretation and the way it affects them and their construing of self, their construing of their life, and how well they can make it fit together with their core constructs. And if they can't do that, then the experience of lockdown could be terrible. But also, if they've been able to do it in lockdown, the experience of going back could be equally terrible. I mean, it's clear that Kelly had that interesting idea of it's not what happens to you, it's what you make of it that matters. And I can see that we're going to have varying responses, and some of that response might be quite surprising. So today's podcast is going to be about the importance of experience. I've been thinking a lot about this just lately, and part of the reason for that is that I read a book by a guy called Matt Haig, which is The Midnight Library. Really interesting as an idea. So it's really about somebody who is very depressed and suicidal and has many regrets about their life, and they get the opportunity, and I won't spoil it in case you want to read it, but they get the opportunity to review things in their life and how they might have turned out if they had lived the life that they regretted not having. And the effect of that was, of course, reconstruction. So the person was able to find out what might have happened and how that might have been for them and the kind of person they might have been had they followed a particular course in life. It's very thought-provoking, and certainly would be useful if you're talking to clients about changes that they might make and also about regrets they may have. So it could be quite a good book to recommend to people, just as a way of loosening their construing and getting them to think a bit more about the possibility of experience being absolutely key. So if you think about an ordinary experience that we might have on a more regular basis when shops are open, something like buying some new shoes. Common experience, something most of us do. Something some of us do often. Sometimes something that people avoid because they don't like having new shoes. But in the end, we all have to do it. So think about what happens with that. We go to the shoe shop, we try some shoes on. So we'll have a browse around and think about which ones might suit us. And it's usually that you can rule out some immediately. So, you know, if you want some shoes for going walking, there's a whole lot of shoes you don't even need to look at. So you look at the shoes that are relevant to what you feel you're buying them for, what you're going to use them for. And then from the shoes that are in the array, you choose some that you feel might suit your feet, might suit what you want, that you like the look of, and you try some on. And when you go with children to the shoe shop, you know, the assistant will feel all around their feet, get them to walk, make sure that they're feeling okay, make sure they've got enough growth room, make sure their heels aren't slipping, all of that sort of thing. And it's interesting that that service isn't available for adults. I'd always quite like it, actually, because sometimes I buy shoes and regret it. So some will be ruled out because they don't suit the shape of my feet or what I want to do with them. Some will be ruled out because I don't like the look of the shoe. Some will be ruled out because I don't like the colours they come in. And some will be ruled out because they are somehow not me, that they just don't suit me in the me that I am or I want to be. I'll feel from the inside of the shoe whether it's suiting my feet. So whether it pinches, whether it's too tight, whether I've actually chosen the wrong style of shoe. And sometimes I'll put a shoe on immediately, take it off. Because just in the trying to put it on, I've learnt something about that shoe that I didn't know before. And then I'll walk up and down in them after I've fastened them up. And I will look at them in the mirror. But it's a combination of how they feel and how they look. It's a funny thing, really, because when you look in those mirrors, you only see your feet. So it's not really relevant how they make you look, yet we all still do it. So I'll do that, and then I'll take the shoes home. And then I'll put them on in my real life instead of my shoe shop life, and I'll try them on again. And I might try them on with some different clothes and see if I still like them. Bearing in mind that I could probably manage to take them back if I'm quick. And then I will wear them outside. And then I find out, by the wearing of them outside, what needs to be modified. So I can feel where they're too tight or too loose. I might need to put some blister plasters on quite often on my heels. And just while I wear them in and the leather softens. Or I might need to stretch them a bit so they get a bit wider in certain places. And I can remember as a kid doing that. You stuffed your shoes with newspaper, I think, wet newspaper to push them out. So the real life test of the shoe matters a lot more than the test in the shoe shop, because a real life test will tell me whether this is going to be a shoe that has been a good purchase, that it's going to be okay, whether it's actually modifiable enough for me. It may be all I need to do is put them on and walk, and sometimes that works fine. But some shoes need to be worn in. Walking boots would be one kind of those. So you know that in the end they're going to be really comfortable, but you have to go through that walking in phase while they become accustomed to your feet and change their shape. And that sort of process involves a lot of loosening and tightening. You know, just buying a pair of shoes isn't very easy, actually, when you go to do it. And I try not to do it very often for that reason. And sometimes I've bought the same shoes again, the same style, different colour, because I've found that they suit my feet and suit what I want to do so well that I don't want a different pair. So that process really is very similar to what happens in a therapeutic relationship. The trying on in the shoe shop is like being with the therapist in the therapy room. The thinking through what might suit you, the being presented with a range of possibilities, the experience of making some selections and trying things on for size. And we do try construing on for size. So if we're trying to change something about ourselves or we're not comfortable with it and other constructs are developing, at that point we're just seeing how well they fit with us, whether they're okay or not, whether they feel all right. And that feel all right is a really big deal. It's, you know, absolutely key to whether you take any further steps. So then what happens is, if I'm the client, I might go home and see if those constructs still fit in the real world. And it may be I find that they don't very well, or that they fit really uncomfortably and they're going to need some modification. And that's okay. But I might not feel it's okay. I might feel that what I need to do as a good client is to have everything sorted. So we've worked on it in the therapy room, we've talked about it, and now I'm going home and I am the new me, or I am using the new constructs. Realistically, that's unlikely to happen because the real world has infinite possibilities. So I might have every good intention of trying on my new construing, and let's say if I wanted to be assertive, I might be assertive with somebody on the phone and it all goes horribly wrong and I retreat from using that construction of myself and go back to what I was using before. I was thinking about this in terms of changes that young people might make in becoming somebody new during their school careers. And that can be quite a challenge, really, because by the time they have been in school a while, people are expecting them to stay the same, not to change. They might tell them to change all the time, but they would find it very hard to anticipate how they might change, except for a slot rattle. So a slot rattle is really not changing your construct. It's just moving between the two extremes, so the two poles of the construct. So if I have a construct that's about being bored in a lesson, I might then try on the construct that is about being really interested in the lesson. I actually did that myself when I was a kid in biology. I tried to be really, really interested in it. Didn't work brilliantly. But in the trying on of that construing of being interested in biology, so many things had to change. I had to sit at the front, which I didn't normally do, in order to play that role. I had to talk to the teacher and put my hand up rather than talking to my friends. I had to get on with my work instead of talking to my friends. and I had to take it seriously. And I can vividly remember experimenting with that in the biology lessons. So it became almost a fixed role. So I stepped through the door and was trying to be different. It was an interesting experiment. And in the end, I reverted to something more like I used to be, which was somebody who didn't think they were very good at biology and couldn't learn it very well. But I also had the opportunity. I mean, it confirmed what I thought about myself at school, was that I was not a good learner. And as an adult, having trained to be a teacher and, you know, had more experience of life, I have realised that the teaching I had in many subjects was extremely poor, nothing like the teaching that kids get now. So teaching was teacher at the front. They might have a book that they read from. They might write notes on the board that you had to copy into a book. They might dictate notes that you had to write into your book. And there'd be a bit of discussion. What there wasn't was a small group discussion ever. It was the teacher giving a lecture and we were supposed to learn. And when I was at school, I found primary school fine, the beginning of secondary school fine. But once it got to the point where there was so much information to learn, I realised that I couldn't really do that. So there came to a point after my experiments where I was coming up to leaving school. So I'd done O-levels and I was making choices. So I was coming up to leaving school, potentially, or staying on in the sixth form. And I opted to leave and go to the local college and do psychology. That was why I went. And I did psychology and sociology, which were utterly new to me, and English, which I had loved at school. What I found out is that college had a completely different attitude to my school. And in the first week and the second week, we had lessons on how to study. Nobody had ever told me that. So I'd never known that there was a way to study. All I knew is that the teacher told you stuff and you were supposed to try and remember it. So I would reread it and reread it and copy out my note and try and remember it. But I wasn't trying to learn, I think. So in this first couple of weeks, we had a number of sessions on study skills from a guy who was explaining about learning and how people learn. And also how there are different ways to make learning stick. I'd never done anything like making cue cards. Obviously, kids are taught this properly now. But it was all new to me. I had no idea about that. And I was able to really reconstrue myself as somebody who had not been taught well rather than somebody who couldn't learn. And I had an interesting experience with psychology and sociology compared with English. I'd already got a lot of constructions about myself as a learner in English. And what I found was that my constructions of myself as a learner in sociology and psychology were much more loose and embraced possibility. So I hadn't done them before, because you couldn't, and what I found was that I could suddenly learn. So I was applying the study skills that I'd been shown, and from the start, I was learning how to find the best ways for myself to learn. That was total shock to me, really, and I'd never thought of myself like that. And interestingly, in English, which I think probably what I really did was continue with the old ways of learning, I did less well than I did in the new subjects. So, you know, that sort of experience is the same as the shoe shop. It's trying on the construing. So, you know, I learnt that you could study in particular ways and that might help your work and being able to learn. And then I tried them on for size at home, these new constructions of myself as a learner. And they had to be outside the being taught situation, because being taught isn't necessarily the same as being a learner. And I think of learning as being more independent than that. But it was the experience of doing it on my own at home that led to me realising that I was able to learn. And just at the same point, I'd realised that you could learn a lot from the radio. So that was another thing that I was trying out. I think one of the teachers had suggested something, and that really got me into listening to documentaries and things like that on the radio. It's a very different experience of being a learner. And it's made me think about the young people who get stuck. So the teachers expect the same of them. They expect them the same of themselves. Their parents expect the same of them. And it's very difficult for those young people to develop constructions of themselves in relation to people who hold quite tight and fixed views of them. And I think that's the role that we can take. You know, we can help people to see that there are other possibilities, there are other ways that people can think of themselves, there are other ways that they could construe situations. And in the book, The Midnight Library, the person gets to see lives they could have had. And in seeing the lives they could have had, their experiences of themselves were different. So what are the ways that we could help somebody to develop new constructs? Well, the first one is straightforwardly through talking to them. So through asking them for information about their construing and checking out where the limits of their constructs are, and particularly in how they're applied to themselves. So do they see themselves as, for instance, a learner? Could they ever be a learner? Are there situations in which they are a learner and they aren't a learner? And I would say when I was at school, there were some situations actually which I could learn in. I don't know really why, because no one was teaching me how to learn at that point, but I just found that I could. But I didn't know how it happened. And I thought it was just sort of good days and bad days. So, you know, really exploring how learning happens and how experience makes a difference to learning. So if you're trying to behave better in science lessons so you don't keep getting thrown out of the room by the teacher, you know, how could you go about doing that? How could you do an experiment which would mean that you could sit in the science lesson all the way through? Would it be possible? Could you not mess with the equipment? Could you sit still on your stool? Could you get your work done? Could you pay attention to the teacher and show the teacher you're paying attention? Could you work instead of talking to friends? You know, all of those things can be explored. And I think it's really important when we're working with people to experiment in the therapy room with some of that construing. So, you know, let's say, yes, I can do all of those things. So then it's, okay, so what would it be like when you finished your lesson and you went on to the next lesson? Do you think you would take that with you? Would you be a slightly different learner in French, say, compared with science? How about how your friends would respond to you when you got break? Do you think they'd say anything about it? Do you think the teacher would notice that you were being different? And if they did, what do you think that would do to the way they saw you or the way they saw the lesson? So asking around those things is quite a good way to explore the construing and get people to loosen so that they're able to think of the possibilities. I think that's why I like that book, that it was the possible selves that were being looked at in the Midnight Library. Not the actual selves, but the possible selves. Yes, it was all connected with regret. It might actually be a really useful way of exploring that. And I think I might try and do something with that. Okay, so I think the thing about experience is that you can't undervalue what it is, really. It doesn't matter whether the experience is good or bad. In Kellyan terms, if the person says, that was dreadful, it was awful, I couldn't bear it, that's still all useful information, because any experience will affect construing and potentially may change construing. Kelly said that the constructions one places upon events are working hypotheses, which are about to be put to the test of experience. As one's anticipations or hypotheses are successively revised in the light of the unfolding sequence of events, the construction system undergoes a progressive evolution. The person reconstrues. This is experience. The reconstruction of one's life is based upon just this kind of experience. Of course, the key to this is the idea of experimentation as a process. So looking at the results of whatever happens and reviewing the construing process. So if I choose a pair of shoes and find that actually when I've got them home and I'm wearing them, they're pinching my feet, I will develop constructions about how to choose shoes and I will revise my strategy. So I think with our clients, we need to encourage people to think that nothing is ever finished. The reconstruing may go on forever, because it might be that something is being reconstrued gradually, gradually, gradually. So as someone develops a new skill, that's what happens. So they might learn to do gardening. Their construction of gardening and themselves as gardener will change over time. They might have a much tighter construct of themselves as gardener when they're beginning that activity than when they've done it for 20 years, when they realise what they don't know. You know, that's often what people say about learning something, that part of the art of being a learner is knowing what you don't know, not what you do know. So if we can encourage people who are trying to make changes, or you're seeing them because they want to make changes or because they're uncomfortable with how things are at the moment, then encouraging them to be experimental, but not to be as terrified of the results of their experiment. So not to feel that the experiment has to turn out well every time. That actually is quite helpful and freeing, so that people can regard it as properly an experiment. I'm going to see what happens if I buy shoes like this. What will it change? Another way to do something would be to use what's called self-characterization, and then a fixed role sketch, which is related to that. Developing a version of yourself which is slightly different from the way you are now, and fleshing that out with detail. And then the fixed role sketch is taking that new characterization, which is given a new name, out into the real world so that you can try it on for size. It might be that somebody wants to change something about themselves to do with the way they approach work. So they want to become somebody who's really enthusiastic at work and gets on with everybody. You know, that could be quite a jump from where they are now. So you'd make a sketch together, which is not such an enormous leap. So they might test out what it would be like to become like that. So they might just say hello to people when they go and get a cup of coffee. They might answer questions in meetings or ask questions in meetings. The fixed role sketch allows people to try it out, come back and discuss it with their therapist and see what they've made of it. So it's very much an experiment, the way it's set up. It's definitely not, this is going to be a new me. And that can be quite difficult to make people sure of, and to invite them to do an experiment can be quite challenging. And what they'll find out is that lots of other things that they didn't anticipate can affect the way they are, and the way they see themselves. And perhaps the person they had thought they wanted to be like isn't quite right. So they have to test it out in the real world. So that's a more formal way of checking out what the experiences might do to the constructs. You can read more about that in many books about PCP. There's a new book out that has a very straightforward explanation of self-characterization, and that's The Beginner's Guide to Personal Construct Therapy with Adults and Couples. So it's written by Diane Allen and Peter Cummins, and Diane was on this podcast recently. The idea of this book is it's a beginner's guide to working therapeutically, and it's following on from the book that I wrote, but a version that's about working with adults, which has some very different issues. However, in terms of this, you'll be able to find the self-characterisation instructions, so it'd be really worth following that up. And the book is very inexpensive. It's available on Amazon as an ebook or a print book. Okay, so that's enough for today. Hopefully you might go away and have a think about this and see whether you can experiment as well, and whether you can try out a new technique like self-characterization or a different way of asking questions, and see where it takes you. I think the importance is in the experience. So what you might do is try things out and it doesn't work too well, or it doesn't work with that person, or it doesn't feel comfortable to you yet. Don't worry about that too much, because in order to do a decent experiment, you've got to do it more than once. You've got to replicate it. Then have a go with somebody else who is not your client before you use it with your client. That way you develop some fluency with the technique, so you're ready for your client, but also you will be able to be comfortable in it and be able to anticipate what might happen next, which again is related to experience and construing. Okay, I'll see you next month. Hope everything goes well for you, and I'll see you in March.